Okay, we have hired a worship director. She will be starting in August, at the end of August. Her name is Chrissy Werner. She has four kids. Grace is six. Clara and Ben are twins. They are four. And Ian is about 17 months. Some of you may have greeted them when they came in around June. We're excited to have her here. She's wrapping up ministry in town here at Faith EMC. So changing churches, but not denominations. So we're excited. She's been serving there for about the past 8 years or so. And we're just excited that she joins the team here. So as she comes, for sure be welcoming her and helping her transition into ministry here. So we are super excited to have her on board. Again, if you're on Facebook, find her, greet her, welcome her, and that'd be wonderful. About 5 years ago, we've been in our house 7 years now. We live up in the West Heights area on Driftwood Drive. About 5 years ago, we noticed a new ground cover that was growing. And we used to have this dark leafed ground cover, and this kind of showed up. We've got five flower beds that are raised and in different parts of the backyard there. And so we noticed it in the furthest back one on the right-hand side, and kind of spread and looked really nice. And we used to have this dark leafed ground cover in this other little triangular thing. And last year we noticed this is kind of taken over a little bit. It's kind of pretty. See these little, you can kind of almost see those little whitish flowers. They'll get a little bigger in the weeks to come. They don't look too bad. But three of our five flower beds are completely consumed by this. There's nothing else there. Two of them have about, this is in amongst the plants that we have left. And so I thought, you know, last year I'd dig some of it up. I took six bags, okay, six lawn bags full of this stuff. I dug down a foot deep and got rid of it. And this year, woohoo, it's back worse than ever. And so I thought, I'll just look this stuff up because what we thought was, you know, just this nice ground cover. It is called Bishop's Weed or Snow on the Mountain. I call it Satan's gift to me. It is an invasive species of ground cover, and it chokes out everything, and it's got this kind of root system that goes down, and if you pluck it, it just means that there's a raw end to grow and sprout everywhere else, and so it's really, really hard to get rid of. So my father-in-law's a farmer. We're making a plan, and good luck. I know some of you are going, we have that stuff. It's taken us like 6 years to call it quits, and now that's our whole flower bed. This is the same as the kingdom of God. This might sound a really weird thing. We're going through the parables of the kingdom that Jesus shares. Primarily, we're looking at Matthew and Mark through the summer. But this is literally an illustration that Jesus gave for what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. Does anyone know about a guy named Gideon? Okay, kids, you may have heard about a guy named Gideon. Okay, Gideon, he wasn't known initially because he was really strong or he was really brave. In fact, he was hiding from the Midianites and when God called him. And he had to test God a number of times because he was cowardly. But God delivered the Israelites because of his leadership. He was not the first to be chosen by people. No one would have wanted to follow him, but God chose him and used him. Some of us will know about King David, who eventually became king. Now, can anyone tell me when Samuel came to choose a new king from David's family, where was David? Where's David? He's out tending the sheep because his father and his brothers, he was just this little runty guy. His father and his brothers said, nah, not him. Anybody ever feel like that? Like, not me? No, I'm not the first choice. At the time that Jesus came to the earth, I shared this a couple weeks ago, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were under Roman rule, right? The Romans had come in, taken over, and they were waiting for a Messiah to come, the Christ to come and to overthrow, to become a great king, to rebuild the palaces and the armies and everything, and they would restore Israel to its greatness through military might. But Jesus came, and he was born in Bethlehem, and he was born in a manger to nobodies. And the only people who came were these distant astrologers, you know, wise men, people, psychic guys from another nation, and these shepherds, the lowest of the low. They were invited to come and see this newborn king for the first time. If you like me, there's times that you forget to notice all the small things. You ever had that in life where you got like these small things that happen over the course of a year or a few months, and they build up, and if you take time to pause and look back, you can see, you can weave a thread through these experiences of what God's doing. This week, spending some quiet time by the lake, I did one of the experiences I led in the morning, encounters with God, was just that. It's called the Examine. It's where you, it's an older monastic way of considering your past, and you pick a season of time, a week, a month, a season, and you consider what God's been doing. And I was able to sit and think back with God right there and go, God, you know, what are some of the things you've been doing that I've missed? And when you do that, you often see that there's a common thread. There's something that God is doing that you haven't noticed. So you reflect back. And we find that Gideon, David, Jesus, these small things, that's the way God works. Now, our library and focus on the family and all this stuff, when you go to theaters, the movies, the books, often we're reading the end product, right? So-and-so was an addict, or so-and-so was, you know, had this experience and they were miraculously transformed. So-and-so went on missions and this all happened. And we get this big view in a very short period of time of things that God's doing. And we can tend to look at Scripture that way. And we can be tempted to just look for the big things in our lives. You know, if I'm not a missionary, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a leader, we're looking for the big things. But if you really look at the kingdom of God, it's the small things, the invasive things, the things you don't notice that spread the most. And it's, in fact, exactly the way the kingdom works. I think that most of us have a grand misunderstanding of the kingdom of God, how it works in our life and how we can work together with God in that. And Jesus spoke about this. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 13. Jesus used all sorts of parables. Jesus was a master teacher, and he'd be walking along and he'd point to something or he'd bring up an illustration. And in Matthew 13, he talks about seeds. Now, pretty much for us, unless you're into gardening or farming, you don't know much about seeds. But in that culture, everybody knew something about growing something. It was how you lived. So Matthew 13, 31 and 32. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Other places, Jesus uses the illustration of a mustard seed, and he says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? So we've heard that. You've been involved in church for a while. How many have heard this parable before? This isn't a shame thing. This is just, have you ever heard something like this? You kind of heard about this? Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you, I've heard this lots of times. And last year, as I started to study this, I discovered I was completely wrong, okay? So today, I want to help you discover two ways that you can interact with the kingdom, but it's based on an understanding of the mustard seed that you probably have not had before. I think that most people misunderstand what Jesus is sharing about the mustard seed. Here's what we normally hear about the mustard seed, right? It's the smallest of all seeds, and it grows into the biggest things. So look for small things to grow into big things, right? When we speak about evangelism or witnessing or sharing our faith, we talk about planting seeds, right? We plant seeds. Exactly. Most of what we think about is this small thing growing into something noticeable and something big. And we're concerned with its size, right? Its size. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. And I'll tell you why. The kingdom of heaven is small. Jesus chose 12 disciples who were called apostles. Now, he had more followers than that. But relatively speaking, much less people than we have here this morning. So it began small. So yes, there is something to do with size. And it did grow into something large, the church, you know, as a movement, as a people, for sure. But the kingdom is more than that. It's deeper than that. It's broader than that. And if we begin to look at what a mustard seed is and what those people would have heard, we might discover something new. Now, the mustard seed would have been common in that area. Here's a picture of the mustard seed in our area, if I get this to work. Okay? Here, this is, you know, in Ontario, you might drive past that. That's a distant cousin of the mustard seed that Jesus would have spoken about. Here it is again, pretty small, right? Fairly small, all right? And here's what it grows up into, all right? There is a Palestinian, Middle Eastern mustard tree, all right? So yeah, it's small and it grows big. Here's what the natural history of the Bible says. The common mustard, mustard of Palestine is Sinapis nigra of the order Cruciferia. Nobody cares about that. But the black mustard, which is found abundantly in wild state, is also cultivated in the gardens for its seed. It's the same as our own mustard, but it grows especially in richer soils of the Jordan Valley to a much greater size than here in this country. We noticed its great height on the banks of the Jordan, as have other travelers. And Dr. Thompson, who was authoring this, remarks that in the plain of Acre, he has seen it as tall as a horse and a rider. So this is taken from about the late 1800s. And they noticed that in the Jordan Valley where Jesus was teaching, in the rich soils by the Jordan and by lakes and by water, they would have seen these trees as high as a horse and a rider. So picture that guy on a horse with a rider. And when Jesus was teaching this, if you go back a chapter or two, you'll find that he's teaching on the banks of a lake. And he's on the side of this lake. And what do you think is in view while he's teaching? Mustard trees. Now, here's the deal. It was common and it was well known, but it wasn't the smallest of all seeds. And it's not the largest of all trees. So either Jesus is a liar, or he's got another point. All right, Pliny the Elder, another Roman from first century, he wrote this. Mustard grows entirely wild, though it is improved by being transplanted. On the other hand, when it's sown, it's scarcely possible to get the place free of it. Think about the bishop's weed. As the seed, when it falls, it germinates once and spreads from there. John Dominic Crossan says this, the mustard plant tends to take over where, listen to this, the mustard plant tends to take over where it's not wanted. It tends to get out of control, and it's like a pungent shrub that is dangerous and takes over properties. Okay, so it's not the smallest of all seeds. It's not the largest of all trees. It's pungent. It's a little bit poisonous almost. To eat a lot of it, if, you know, for animals, the normal animals wouldn't eat at this stuff. It grows like crazy. It goes where you don't want. What does Jesus say? How does this mustard seed get into a field? How does he say the mustard seed gets into the field? It's planted. Look, if I came to your house and I brought this lovely green and white flowered thing and I said, it covers so much. You don't even have to have mulch anymore. You just plant this stuff and it, you know, you might thank me for that. But if you found out what it is, would you let me put that in your garden? No, never. Jesus says The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds. Well, it's not the smallest of all seeds, but rabbis used the illustration of the mustard seed all the time. Jesus was a rabbi. And so he used a common illustration that rabbis had used likely for centuries, but he turned it on its head because rabbis always spoke about small things becoming large. They spoke about Israel and its greatness, being small people from Abraham and this small seed and growing. But Jesus changes all this. It's the smallest of all seeds. Well, it's not, but illustratively, they would have understood that. People standing by, they would have went, yep, I get exactly what you're saying. But it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows into a tree. So the people listening there that day wouldn't be going, well, you know, Jesus, I went back to this encyclopedia and I learned I've got a bigger tree in my backyard than that one. They would know it's a weed. It's a weed. When he speaks about birds coming and making nests in its branches, you know what kind of birds nest in its branches? Things like crows, like nasty birds who eat the rest of your seeds, right? Do you want those types of things? Like, are you going to plant a tree that spreads all over the place and the only type of animals that come are the ones that are going to pick and eat the rest of your seeds? It's going to completely take over your garden. It's going to move outside your garden. It's going to go on your grass. It's going to surround your house. It's going to go in your neighbor's yard. It's going to go next door. And you are going to be well-liked in your community, right? Jesus says the craziest thing. The kingdom of heaven is like this weed. The kingdom of heaven spreads where it's not invited. It grows where it's not planned. You can't control it. And it'll get bigger and more invasive than you could ever imagine. The kingdom of God isn't about something small growing into something big. It's about something unnoticed, spreading like crazy. Unexpected places, in ways you can't control, in ways you'd never imagine, through simple, small actions that you would never imagine would make a difference at all. This week, Andrew Mills, a pastor of our Plattsville church, shared about an experience at camp he had a number of years ago at Senior Teen with high school students, where he had the unfortunate privilege of choosing to ignore a student who'd come up for prayer because they were a little bit annoying. And we do that. We ignore people who are annoying. We do it. And eventually he did pray. This kid waited and waited and waited, and he felt guilty and convicted. He just had a simple prayer with this kid. Thought nothing of it. 5 years later, he shared that someone who knew this kid had heard this kid talk in a church, but didn't make the connection that Andrew knew the kid. So this person who heard this kid talk said, oh, we had this Youth for Christ worker come and said, yeah, he was at this camp and this guy prayed with him. And from that moment on, the drugs were gone, his emotional state changed, his life turned around, and now he's serving Jesus for Youth for Christ. And this guy sharing it with Andrew, and the lights come on with it for Andrew going, I didn't even want to pray for this kid. Like, I did it because I should. I felt guilty. I shouldn't have done that. The kingdom of God spreads in ways you don't expect. That's the way it's meant to be. So if we think about this mustard seed, and we think about bishop's weed, and we think about all of these things, what does that mean for us? Jesus knew that the kingdom of God would be subversive, right? It's subversive. It's driven by persecution. Wherever God's people are, the more they are tried, stomped out, the more they are persecuted, the more they are limited, the more the kingdom grows. Because that's the way it's meant to be. Sometimes in our North American ease, we're choked out. Because we're forgetting to plant seeds. And we're forgetting what the kingdom of God is all about. We have this catchphrase and a cop-out sometimes, don't we? What is it? I'm planting seeds. Do you know what planting seeds usually means for a North American Christian? It means I'm not really being intentional, but I hope that as I go about my way, God does something with my actions that might be good. I don't think that's what Jesus' point here is. He's saying the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. What in a field? What is it? Planted. Do you plant a seed while you're barbecuing beside your garden? Can you plant seeds while you're on a yacht while your garden's far away? Can you plant seeds in a field, when you're just having supper? No. If you're a farmer, you plant seeds by what? You get some seeds, you go out into your field, and if it's a small garden, you do it by hand. If it's big, you use your tractor and your equipment. Or in their time, they would use their animals or even a bag, and they cast seed. It's a very intentional thing. Planting seeds, can a farmer grow the seeds? No. What's our responsibility? To take a small thing and make it big? Not at all. Jesus is saying, your responsibility is to make sure you're taking these small things and intentionally planting them. Our privilege, our opportunity is that when you plant seeds, God will grow it in ways you can't imagine, in places you could never plan, but you've got to be planting the seeds. Our encouragement is that you want to have a life that's effective, that makes a difference, that means something, plant some seeds. But planting seeds isn't a cop-out like, well, I was going to, I had this opportunity to share about my faith, or I had this opportunity to bless someone, or I had this opportunity, and I was kind of scared, and I wasn't really sure, but I think God will use that. You know what? God can use that. I don't want you to feel guilty this morning. This isn't a, like, oh, you're a terrible believer. Why aren't you planting seeds? I want to call you to something more intentional. It's God's responsibility to grow the seed. It's our responsibility to hear his voice and be farmers. We leave the planting of seeds up to God too often. Might sound a bit heretical, right? We leave the planting of seeds up to God too much. He asks us to be the farmers. He asks us to plant the seeds. He gives us lots of opportunity to plant seeds. And we're often not intentional. So I want to help you with two things this morning. Two things that can take this short little parable and help us put this into action. Hopefully you're seeing this in a new light and you're encouraged, because it's not about you doing the growth, it's about you doing the planting, and God will do the growth. Here they are, all right? Number one, you want to plant seeds that God can use to grow his kingdom? Spend time with the master farmer. Spend time with the master farmer. You're going to be given opportunities to share about your faith when you don't expect it, right? So spend time with the master farmer. Do you know why we spend quiet time? Because books tell us so? Because God's waiting and, guilt if we don't? Not at all. We spend time alone with God regularly because it's quiet and we're alone, so that we can train ourselves to hear God when? When it's not quiet and we're not alone. If we could cultivate a deeper relationship with Jesus, a deeper way of understanding, hearing, and obeying God in those quiet times, as you read scripture, as you pray. What do you do in your quiet time? Whatever you want. Whatever gets you deepest, fastest. Some people read, some people journal, some people pray a lot, some people mix things up, some people use devotional readings. I think God will take care of that. But if you are intentional about spending regular time, do you have to spend it in the morning? Nope. It's a great time. You can spend it in the evening. You can do it in the afternoon. You find your time and take it to God. Because when you spend time with the master farmer, a lot of this guilt stuff goes away. A lot of this shame stuff goes away. A lot of our Christianity as North Americans, we don't feel like we're connected to the kingdom much, or we're doing much, because a lot of us just have this burden of guilt and shame, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not doing a big testimony thing, and I'm not, God doesn't work that way. So I encourage you, spend time with the master farmer, because you're going to know how to, when to, what to do to plant seeds. Seeds are small things. What are seeds? Seeds are little phrases. Seeds are ways you live when others are watching and you're not thinking. Seeds are little ways you bless. Small things, everyday things, the things that you wouldn't think add up to anything. Seeds are not, you know, I'm going to sell all I have and go start an orphanage overseas. That happens over a long process. But God's not calling you to that. God's calling you to plant small, regular, everyday seeds. Who you are, where you're planted, and he'll continue to grow you. Spend time with the master farmer. And secondly, bless others. One of the most effective ways we can plant is a seed of blessing. Seed of blessing. At Country Hills, we have some little cards that are called the Way of Jesus. And it's something our denomination has. We view it as a mirror. It's seven phrases that help us understand, are we walking in health with Jesus, the way of Jesus? And one of those phrases goes like follows. I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him too. I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him too. When I read that card and I come across that second statement, that second phrase, and I consider, God, am I living in such a way that I'm actually every day being sent by you to bless others and invite them to follow you too? Am I doing that? It's a privilege. It's not a guilt thing. It's not, God's not wagging his finger at you. He's saying, look, get on board with my kingdom. See some exciting things happen because I'm going to spread in ways you can't, right? What are we responsible for? What are we responsible for?
Planting.
We're responsible for planting. Spend time with the master farmer and bless others. This is a really great thing I discovered. Actually, Gavin sent it to me. Gavin Work, maybe 3-4 years ago. It's called Bless. It's a way to encourage others. So I want to help you. I use this. This is something that's in my head when I'm with others who don't know Jesus. And when I say I want to be a blessing or I want to bless others, this is exactly what I mean. Here's a great way. This is just a tool. If it doesn't connect with you, whatever. But for me, this works really well. I'm being sent by Jesus to bless others, small things, plant seeds, and through that, ask for God to give me opportunity to share him with them, invite them to follow him too. Here's a way to bless others. Begin with prayer. Pray for those you want to see this kingdom spread to. Pray for those areas, those work and school and family and all these things that the kingdom can spread to without you're doing anything other than planting seeds. If God calls you to other things, he'll tell you that. But it starts with that. Begin with prayer. Nothing happens apart from prayer. Can I say that like again? Nothing happens apart from prayer. Sometimes we're waiting and going, God, I've got this family member or this issue or whatever. Why don't you come? And God's going, I want you to come to me. I'm going to share some things with you, and I'm going to partner with you. And sometimes, more often than not, it's just these small things. But you got to begin with prayer. Listen, if you're trying to be a witness to someone else, to invite them into the kingdom of God, listen before you talk. For goodness sakes, how many of you grew up in a farm family? How many of you grew up in a farm family? Okay, I'm a city kid. All right, I married into a farm family. Here's one of the things I recognize real quick. I have no idea how to lean against a tractor and chat it up for a little bit, right? Farm kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. The relationships and the ability just to talk, just to chat without anything, you know, just to listen to one another, be involved, you know, talking about weather or whatever for hours, you know. I'm not great at that. God calls us as farmers to be listeners first. Don't go to your Bible verses and conviction. The world doesn't need guilt. The world doesn't need shame. The world doesn't need you to prove your point about the gospel or any issue initially. All you got to do is listen. Jesus often went and listened, and when he was asked a question, gave another question or a parable, or he often spoke after being spoken to. Begin with prayer. Listen. Eat. Eat with people. How do you know why it's great to have coffee after service? Because if you're just talking to someone and you just have your hands, having coffee, having food, sitting down for a time with a meal, we don't do that very well in North America. If you are have any other type of European or South American ethnicity, mealtime's a big deal, right? It's an experience. You spend time together. When you invite someone home to eat, it's a deal. Eat. Have someone over to your house. If your house is not in the order you want it to, go out to a restaurant to eat with someone. So much is done over a meal. Meals are so sacred. Spend time with the master farmer, then bless others. Begin with prayer. Listen, eat, then serve. Usually when we use the term bless, we're thinking, oh, I got to go and like fix my neighbor's thing, or I got to go. Sometimes it doesn't involve that. But eventually, you need to, through listening and eating, find out some of the needs that people around you have. That is how the kingdom of God spreads subversively. You listen. You find out a need. You could sit here today and plan out, you know, like five great things you could do for your friends, neighbors, family, others who don't know Jesus. They'd probably be good, but they might not be the thing that's needed. God calls us to serve, to be a blessing, to give where others don't, to be selfless. Until you pray and until you listen, really we shouldn't be putting our hands to anything. Unless there's a need there, and then just pray and listen while you're doing it, right? And then share. Do you notice that? This is what I love about this. Then share. Wait. Pray. Wait for opportunity. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's like bishop's weed. It's like the most terrible, awful weed you ever held in your hand. And it's so small and no one ever thinks it's going to be anything. And when you do these small, small things, intentionally planting, praying, listening, eating meals, spending time, serving, sharing where you have opportunity, it's all based in spending time with God. Because you've got to be convinced of your faith, because questions are coming. Questions are coming. You've got to be able to share your story authentically. Look, I don't have it all figured out yet. And here are some ways I fail and I'm struggling. But here's one thing I know. Jesus is Lord of my life and he's changed me. We spend time with God in the quiet places, with the master farmer, so we can be great farmers ourselves, because others need to see our lives changed. And that's why we're praying and eating and listening, because others need to experience God changing us. Spend time with the master farmer. Bless others. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that a farmer took and planted in his garden all around the other stuff that should have been growing up, that was expected, that is normal for a farmer to plant. And it grew up and went everywhere, and it was crazy, and it was pungent, and there was these birds who ate everything up, because the kingdom of God will grow in ways you can't expect, in ways you can't plan or control, and it will grow bigger and stronger the more persecution or hard times that come, when our friends, our neighbors, our family experience that kind of a kingdom. When our friends and neighbors and family, those who don't know Jesus, experience that in us, because it's rooted and established in this spending time with God in a deep relationship where he's actual, functionally the Lord of our life. And just through our very daily living, things are growing and people are impacted. That's the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you what, that's the kind of kingdom I want to be involved in. I just can't live up to all the stuff I have in my heart for what I want to see me do for God. And I can't live up to all the things that others want to see me do for God. But I sure can spend time with him, do what he says, and see him grow things in ways I could never do that. Why don't we stand as we pray this morning? Heavenly Father, such a great way to understand your kingdom. We just I think God in North America, we just are really backwards about a lot of things. We have a ton of privilege and opportunities, and a lot of times we squander it. So, Father, I pray against guilt. I pray against shame this morning. I pray that you would encourage us. We would get in a quiet place with you, and that you would give us opportunity to bless others. Help us be intentional about living before others in ways that plant intentional seeds, phrases, actions, change. Change, that we're changed. And Lord, as you do that in us, we can evidence that before others. We are lost without you. We need you. It's so awesome, Jesus, that you came humbly, that you call us to serve humbly, that we're involved in this kind of a kingdom, not defined by a system or a denomination or a ruling authority or politics or power, but by something that's subversive. May we see the kingdom grow this week in kids' lives and in parents' lives and in our community and in our neighbors and in our family. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being here this morning. If you're able to help stack some chairs, there's some coffee. If I've not met you before and you're guests with us this morning, I'd love to greet you. Lord bless you as you go this week.